Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to 1UP. It's been a few weeks, but we are back, and in this show we are going to be previewing the upcoming game, Spider-Man. Unfortunately, Carl can't be with us because he is feeling a bit under the weather, so hopefully Carl is back for the next one. But joining me is friend of the show, Stu from the Comic Pod. How are you doing, Stu?
I'm good, mate. Thank you for having me on. And get well soon, Carl.
Aye, absolutely, absolutely. So, it was obvious when we were doing Spider-Man. I mean, I think you and Rory have already dibs to RDR2, haven't you? But you needed to come on for Spider-Man. Unfortunately, Rory's on holiday, so he couldn't make it either. But I've got Stu with me, so we'll get straight into it. And we'll do a bit of news towards the end to finish up. So, obviously, everyone remembers the Spider-Man games from the PS1 and PS2 days, don't they? I mean, nobody wants to talk about the Amazing Spider-Man film games, which I played and were shit. But what are your memories of them PS1, PS2 days?
Honestly, not much. I really don't remember much of those games, because I wasn't much of a PS1 gamer. I don't actually remember what games I played on the PS2 that were Spider-Man.
I just put it down because I couldn't remember which console it was, to be honest.
There was a really, really good one I played on the 360, and I always forget what it was bloody called. Mm. It was the one that had the Spider-Man Noir in it.
Through Time?
Shattered Dimensions. And there was Edge of Time as well. Shattered Dimensions was brilliant. Mm. That was the one where you got to play Spider-Man 2099 as well.
I remember that being advertised, actually. And it always piqued really, interest.
Because each different Spider-Man had different benefits. So like the Noir one, he went invisible when he went in the shadows. So it was a little bit more stealth. It was more sort of Assassin's Creed feel.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just brilliant. But in terms of that, I don't think I've actually played that many games. I played one where you could change... when he was wearing the black suit, you could change. I think if you used the black suit too much, because it was the proper symbiote, it took you over, and you got really angry. But the longer you were in the suit, you got like a bit venomy and like a bit stabby with people.
Started doing emo dances and stuff.
Oh, thankfully, it never went that far. Like down the street, clicking your fingers.
Hey, you got some Toby.
Fucking awful. Thanks for reminding me of that. It was bad enough having to relive it when we did our bloody pod on Spider-Man.
The Noir one, I remember you just mentioned it on the Spider-Man pod.
He's one of my favourite Spider-Mans. Spider-Man? Yeah, Spider-Man.
I think it's Mans.
Yeah, he's definitely Spider-Mans now.
Yeah. But, I mean, for me, it's the early Spider-Man games. I think it must have been PS1. It's just, I can't remember anything about the story or out like that, but I just remember web-slinging. You could just go around the city web-slinging. That's all.
Which
I
is
want.
Always the best bit.
Yeah, that's all I want from a game.
Snap.
Yeah.
Well, there'd be no point in releasing a Spider-Man game if they weren't going to make it really, really open world and give you a lot of versatility to just go wherever you want, because that's the whole point. You know, you're in New York, you kind of want to be able to just do your own thing. So they've kind of got to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why the Amazing Spider-Man games were shite.
They didn't look very well as well, because they tried to make them look like the films, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think I might have played it on the 360, but I think I might have played it, hated it, and then got rid of it very, very quickly.
Pretty much you were fighting robots all the time rather than, like, Dr. fucking Croc. And it was like, what the fuck?
That's familiar, actually, fighting robots. Yeah, I think I might have played it for a few hours and then gone, and just taken it back.
I'm not surprised, and I don't know why I didn't take it back. But no, it's... So Spider-Man, it's had a bit of a mixed backlog of games, hasn't it? I mean, we've talked about the Amazing Spider-Mans, and we've talked about the PS1 days and stuff like that, but it has been a mixed bag. And before we come to the introduction of characters, because this will be a bit more your forte, but we've probably been speaking about doing an Arkham trilogy pod for so long, so I'm going to bring it up because it does have some similarities. But do you think Spider-Man is the one Marvel superhero who has that pretty much universe of his own, like similarly to Batman, in terms of having that amount of villains and characters that are intertwined with him and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. We did it on the comic pod. We did a series of polls. I think it was last year, maybe the year before, actually. And we were trying to work out who people thought had the best rogues gallery out of DC and Marvel. And unsurprisingly, it was Batman and Spider-Man that won.
Mm.
And yes, Spider-Man, in terms of global appeal and how recognizable he is and how recognizable so many of the villains are, the Spider-Man is probably the only character across any comics that can sort of stand up next to Batman, because Superman may well be the most famous hero of all time, but I'll bet you most people would struggle to name more Superman villains than Spider-Man.
I've literally got Lex Luthor.
Well, that's it. Most people would probably get Lex Luthor. You might get the odd one who's seen maybe Smallville or like Krypton, who could maybe mention something like Brainiac. Mm. Whereas if you say Spider-Man, people will go, well, Dr. Octopus, Lizard, Vulture. Goblin. Green Goblin, Hobgoblin, you know, there's five already. So, and that they're some of the more obvious ones. So it does make a lot of sense that there's probably better characters they could have gone for in terms of the gameplay. Mm. But they probably, like, I think a Daredevil game would be brilliant.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to
But you'd really struggle to get Daredevil villains in. And that's why the Batman games have been so good, because they can just do the different villains every game. And they work even in the last one in Arkham Knight when they brought in Professor Pig. Not a very well-known villain, but he's actually brilliant. Basically, he's a surgeon-turned-serial killer who mutilates all of his victims and tries to turn them and make them perfect-looking. And they become like his mind-controlled, I think he calls them Dollatrons. They're basically like puppets for him.
Mm.
But they don't always have to rely on Joker. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was Arkham City, and probably the most memorable villain from that for me was probably the Mad Hatter, and I was like, this dude is more crazy than the Joker. It just stuck with me.
When he drugs you and you go into the, like, that dream world and you're fighting up his fellas in the rabbit masks.
Oh, aye, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird as hell. That was probably one of the better levels in the whole game.
Absolutely.
That and the one with Ra's al Ghul,
yeah,
where you're fighting him in the again. That was in kind of like a dream world, wasn't it? To earn the right to have the demon's head, blah blah blah.
Oh yeah, the trials one. Mr. Freeze fight was good as well. But anyway, we're not going. This is not going to turn at the Arkham pod. But you mentioned some of the Spider-Man's characters there, and there's a couple that are obviously quite familiar. I know Kingpin's in it, who everyone's probably seen from Daredevil and every cartoon with Spider-Man ever. But is there any ones that that are there that you might think people aren't too familiar with. I mean, Carl's graciously done some names for us. Obviously, Miles Morales, we'll come to him in a bit. Black Cat and Silver Sable, they're getting their own TV series, aren't they? So they might be a bit more...
They're getting films.
Yeah. Films, is that it?
They were originally going to be in the same film, but they've split them out now, Sony, and said they're going to do a Black Cat film, which would be brilliant, and Silver Sable, which I'm not convinced by, because she's not that great a character. She's basically just a mercenary.
Mm.
I don't think she's got any secret powers or anything like that. But the rest of them, the only one that people probably haven't heard of is Mr. Negative.
Yeah, he was going to be the one.
I must admit, he's somebody that I don't really know of. But Shocker, Electro, Rhino, Scorpion, and Vulture have all been stables of the Sinister Six. I'm a little bit surprised that they haven't got Dr. Octopus.
Mm.
And if I was to find one criticism with the game, having not actually played it, I wish it was more classic looking. I wish they were going for like the old school Spider-Man look rather than this modern look where everyone's more like armored rather than like cheesy, chintzy, lycra clad from the 60s.
Mm.
But there's one villain in there that people won't know of, and it's a shame because he's actually brilliant, and that's Taskmaster.
Yeah.
His superpower is he instantly learns the fighting moves of anyone that he fights. So there's been times where he's fought Captain America, and as soon as he's seen Captain America throw one punch, he learns Captain America's moveset and how he moves, how he throws a punch, how he carries himself, so he can perfectly counter him. And the only person who's really able to beat Taskmaster easily is Deadpool, because Deadpool is so stupid and eclectic that he doesn't really have a fighting style. He just does whatever the hell he wants and gets on with it. But he's going to be a very interesting one, because assuming he's in there as an actual villain that you fight, it's going to be difficult to fight him, because you can't just... If you stay distant and try and web him, he'll always see your webs coming. If you try and get close, he'll be able to counter everything you do. So you're going to have to be mixing it up quite a lot to get past him. And the trailers have done a really good job of making it look like you're going to be fighting everyone all at once. Because the first proper trailer that we saw is coming out of the prison, and you're chasing Electro.
Yeah.
As he's sort of whizzing his way through, and you end up getting ambushed by all the rest of them. And then they make some kind of comment. I think it might be Vulture or Rhino makes a comment that the guy in charge wants him alive. And now it looks like that guy in charge is Kingpin.
Hmm. Well, I'll read through this, because it might give it a bit more backstory. But Carl's wrote down the plot introduction for us. So Peter Parker is 23 years old and interning at a laboratory while about to graduate from college. Parker has been Spider-Man for 8 years and has settled into a role as protector of New York City. Early in the story, so... There is spoilers here, but it's not going to ruin the game. So if you want to go in proper blind, I won't go into too much detail. But basically, you beat Kingpin quite early on.
Yeah.
And then it introduces Mr. Negative and stuff like that. So maybe, unless the Kingpin is put out early for a reason, maybe there is going to be a surprise villain there. I mean, you mentioned Dr. Octopus not being in there. Mysterion, Norman Osborn has been confirmed as a character in it, so do you think, maybe not Green Goblin, but do you think Norman Osborn could be a villain in it?
He could well be. I mean, it's been shown plenty of times, especially recently in Daredevil. Even when the Kingpin's in jail, he's still the Kingpin of crime. He's still got his hands in, you know, he's got his hands in all the pies. So it could be that maybe he outsources it to Osborn. It could be that he outsources it to Mr. Negative. It might be, as with a lot of things, that Spider-Man's got multiple people after him at any one time, because, you know, he's ruining a lot of people's plans. So there's a lot of villains in there, but I would like to think that, yeah, that there is going to be a surprise in there at some point. And if it was Dr. Octopus, I'd be over the moon. Because with the way games look now, you know, with us coming to the end of this cycle, you've got to think that a Dr. Octopus fight on the PS4 when the games look the way they do now, and especially the way this looks, that could be incredible. That could be like a movie scene.
Absolutely. And I think we've mentioned the films there a few times, but I'd imagine most people would agree that out of the films that have been released, he's probably the best villain we've seen on the big screen, isn't he?
For Spider-Man, without a shadow of a doubt, that's why Spider-Man 2 is held in such high regard, because the villain portrayal was absolutely brilliant.
Just putting that out there.
Willem Dafoe is a brilliant villain because he just looks demented. He really does look like he's been exposed to some kind of goblin gas that's completely cooked his brain. But yeah, I know Kevin Feige said in the past that they do want to try and stay away from villains that have been done before. And I get that, because you don't want to just keep rehashing the same things over and over. But I really do hope at some point in the future deals that the MCU and Sony come to, that they're able to get Dr. Octopus in there. Because that would be incredible. Because he's easily, for me, Spider-Man's best villain. Mm. Other than, you know, Carnage and Venom, who pretty much aren't going to be doable. That isn't happening.
Mysterion's rumoured to be in the next Spider-Man film, isn't he?
Yeah, it's been said that he's in it, but they still haven't made any formal casting announcements about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Right.
There was rumours that Gyllenhaal was in it, but no one's actually
confirmed.
No one's actually come out and said, yeah, he's signed a contract, he's Mysterio. So, yeah, it's a bit weird, but they're going on.
I just realised I called him Mysterion from South Park.
Yeah. Now, that would be interesting if you got Mysterion in it.
Yeah,
that would be very interesting. They're going for a Sinister Six angle in that as well, because it's going to have a few different villains in it. Like, it's meant to have, what's his face? Oh, the water bastard whose name's just completely gone out of my head. Hydro Man.
That sounds like one of those afterthought villains, but I love it.
Aqua Bastard sounds better, or Water Bastard, but it's not really PG-13, so.
The human dolphin.
I'll let him off.
No, but I was just bringing up Mysterio, though, because normally if they do a game well in advance of a film, they can use it as a marketing tool, can't they? So I was just wondering if he could fit in there. But you'll know more about the Sinister Six universe than me, but is there anyone other than Doc Ock missing out of that we've seen on the trailers so far?
Out of those and the names that we've mentioned, because Mysterio's a big member of them, the only one really that I can think of is the Chameleon.
Hmm.
And the Chameleon's an interesting character. And Kraven the Hunter, who apparently I found out recently was supposed to be the main villain in Black Panther.
Ooh.
But then Ryan Coogler changed it because he was told that, I think it was that he was told that he wasn't allowed to use the character by the powers that be. And usually when you get told that, it means that they've been earmarked for something else.
There was that rumour he was getting involved in something. I can't remember what it was, but I'm sure I put it in the group. I may scroll up and find that. But I do remember Kraven from the cartoon days.
Yeah, he's brilliant. And he's a really good villain because he's not got that many weird powers. You know, he's basically an expert hunter with enhanced senses like an animal. And he would be a good one to do. He was in one of the best Spider-Man novels ever, where he actually killed Spider-Man and then he got really pissed off about it. And I think he kills himself because he's actually done the unthinkable and he's killed Spider-Man. But of course, Spider-Man's not really dead. But if I remember rightly, there's a family link between Chameleon and Kraven. I think they're half brothers.
All right.
Chameleon was a big one in the cartoon series from the 90s. Mm-hmm. He was really, really good. His major thing is that he can impersonate anyone. He's got this belt that helps him look like anyone, and he he goes off and he'll like commit a crime spree as Spider-Man to turn public opinion against him.
There's been
rumours or suggestions that that might actually be one of the storylines of Far From Home, that somebody is doing something as Spider-Man and it turns out that it's the Chameleon. And maybe that's the gateway to the Sinister Six. But
yeah,
there's so many villains out there that even if they take six up in one go in this game, they're still leaving themselves with plenty to go at in a future game. I mean, if the Venom movie does well, there's no reason why the next Spider-Man game couldn't bring Venom and Carnage and all the symbiote stuff into it.
Oh, God, that's a good shout, that. And we'll come on to the future of the superhero genre in gaming, but we'll stick with a couple of the characters. Obviously, there's Mary Jane and Miles. Obviously, he's in it as well. But do you think maybe the game is a good, like, baby step in terms of introducing the multiverse?
You've got to think logically that that's what they're doing. We know that Miles is in it, but it doesn't look like Miles is in it as Spider-Man. He's only in it as himself and as a friend of Peter Parker and like a member of his team. But it doesn't look like at any point he's going to suit up. Now, if they were ever going to do that, that would be a perfect DLC where something happens and then Miles... The only problem is to do that, really, you've got to kill Peter Parker, because in the alternate universe that Miles is from, that's, he gets bitten by a spider, but he doesn't actually use his powers. He shies away from it because he thinks he's too young, because he's only about 13 or 14. And then the Peter Parker from that universe dies, and he sort of does it as a tribute and says, right, well, someone's got to be Spider-Man, so I'll have to do it. It would be weird for them to have a brand new Superman, Spider-Man franchise and then kill him off straight away. Do it as a DLC, and they sort of shoot 10 years into the future where Miles has already been Spider-Man for a while, and then they don't really explain what's happened. And that way there's no big time jump for them. They don't have to explain it. They can just say, well, it is what it is.
And in terms of DLC, I think they've already said they've confirmed some, but I didn't really read it because I thought that was absolutely nonsense. Do you think there's any anti-hero stuff in it? Because we have seen, like with Batman, for example, you could play as Nightwing and stuff like that, and Catwoman. Do you think there's any anti-heroes that are possibly in the game? Because isn't Black Cat a bit of an anti-hero in comparison to the rest of the villains, for example?
Yeah, she is. The obvious ones would be a lot of the ones that we've seen in the comics before, so they could have... Punisher would be an interesting one. You could bring Daredevil in. You've got any of the Defenders, because they're all based in New York. So Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones has definitely got an anti-hero thing about her. I'd be interested to see Daredevil in some way, shape or form in the future, because Spider-Man and Daredevil have actually got a really good history together, and they both know each other's secret identity. So there's a lot of trust between the two characters. Punisher would always be a good one, because Punisher's ace. And then there's a whole new dynamic.
The only thing about Punisher is you go from Spider-Man, who's a bit of a PG character, and then you go to the other extreme.
And then you're shooting people in the face with a bazooka just for a laugh.
Yeah.
Good laugh, though.
Oh, all right. We definitely need a Punisher game in the future. But we'll move on from the characters, and we'll go on a bit more of the gameplay. And I mentioned the similarities with Batman, but in terms of the gameplay that we've actually seen, there's similarities with the actual Arkham games with the fighting style and stuff like that. I mean, is that just the safest choice you could ever make for a game like this? Because the Arkham trilogy is just an absolute masterpiece, let's be honest. But
that's exactly the word I was going to use.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick another game for me. Other than that, I mean, they've obviously got completely different dynamics in one sense, where Spider-Man's going to have a lot more distance moves because he's got all of his different webbing. But at his heart, Spider-Man is still a hand-to-hand fighter. And then you've got the stealth element of, well, where he's either he's clinging to walls or he's climbing girders and stuff. And that was one of the big stables of all of the Arkham games, wasn't it? There was always the element of, well, you can just rush in and just batter people, or you can go through the gargoyles, stay up high, drop down and catch them, use the stealth takedowns. And I like any game that gives you an option on how you want to fight people. So you're feeling like you want to just beat people up, we'll go and beat them up. You feel like you want to be a little bit more stealthy, be a bit more stealthy. I was always stealthy anyway, because you got more points for it. You got way more XP, so you leveled up faster. And you
machine
got
machine guns destroy yeah. you on that game.
Yeah. First thing, it's going to be interesting to see if they've done a similar thing there with the level ups, where every time you level up, you can do certain things to your armor. Because in the beginning of the Arkham games, it was always difficult until you got your armor leveled up for the melee damage and the ballistics damage, the guns. And you'd think there's going to be a similar thing here with Spider-Man. You know, if you do get spotted and you're up high, you really do need to be able to take more than a couple of hits before you die. And there's a lot of different suits. There's actually now footage. There's a screenshot going round of all the different suits that are in the game. Some of them we knew about. Like there's a couple that have been included for DLC, and not for DLC. Sorry, it's like a day one bonus.
Yeah.
And they've now started really slowly giving some ideas about what else is out there. So there's loads of different options, and each suit that you've got seems to give you different benefits. So it's going to be interesting to see how Batman like they've gone.
Yeah, absolutely, because they are obviously similar in probably squishiness. I know Spider-Man's super strong and an actual superhero, where Batman's just a bloke. But you could probably easily kill Spider-Man compared to the Hulk, for example.
Well, yeah, I mean, at his core, even with his spider sense and stuff, if you catch Spider-Man in the right place, you know, you could still kill him. And he's got other things. He can still drown. Mm. He can be poisoned. So, yeah, he is still a 23-year-old guy. And for the most time, when a lot of people see him and read him and stuff, he's a kid. And he's young enough to still make stupid mistakes. So he's got that vulnerability. But yeah, like a game like a Hulk game wouldn't really work, because to kill the Hulk, you know, there's only a couple of people in the whole of comics could realistically kill the Hulk.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that vulnerability, I think. It would make it a bit more realistic.
Yeah, I think we've seen, I think the Deadpool games are fun and stuff like that, but it's like, you can't kill him, so what's the point?
Yeah, that the one they did a couple of years ago, it was good. It was good fun, but yeah, it did get a little bit ridiculous.
To be fair, that's what he is.
Yeah, it was pretty much about as slapstick as games can get.
Yeah,
and there'll be an element of that to Spider-Man as well, because he is known for his wisecracking and his jokes on the fly and his daft comments when, like, he sticks someone to the wall and he might say "stick around" or something like that. But
no, that's Predator.
Predator.
What a film.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
But in terms of the Spider-Sense, I think we saw it at E3. It might be in the trailer the year before E3. We kind of saw that Spider-Sense is going to be like a quick-time event. I think we saw it in that helicopter trailer bit.
Yeah.
It looks really impressive, but it was always going to be a quick-time event. But it looks so impressive the way they did it in that helicopter one, especially.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to do it otherwise without... Like we were saying, without taking away the competitive edge of the game, because you still always had that in Batman, didn't you? You always had the little warning that had come up when someone was about to attack you to help with your counters and stuff. Maybe all that happens with Spider-Man is that you've got slightly more time before these things happen, because he's obviously got slightly more intuition than Batman has got. Batman would be able to tell from the way someone's shaping the body up, he's just going to know, even if he's not looking at them. So I've not seen anything from the gameplay that makes me think it's going to be too cheesy or anything like that. It looks like it's been done very, very sensibly and very well.
Yeah, that's the main thing. That's the main thing.
Because that's why they didn't have the Spider-Sense technically in the film and in the MCU. And they've confirmed that he has got it, but the only time we really first saw it was
Infinity War.
Infinity War, when he's on the bus. But I think they said they didn't want to lean too heavily into it, because everyone knows he's got it. It's one of those unwritten rules. You don't need to go on about it all the time. So they've been very careful with it. And I don't know if there's been any involvement with Marvel on this.
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but it's obviously a Sony exclusive, because they, with the film, they said they need the exclusive rights for Spider-Man for the game.
Yeah.
So
fair enough, really.
Yeah. Fucking bastards. but what was I gonna say? What was I going to say? But yeah, there's, I think it's been released that you play as MJ for parts of it. I mean, do you think it's a good thing in a game like this that they pad out the story with characters that are obviously very important to the story that is Spider-Man, and more importantly, Peter Parker?
It depends how they do it. I mean, there would be a good way of doing it, and there would be a shit way of doing it, and hopefully they'll find a good way of doing it, but controlling it as Mary Jane seems kind of cheesy. But it might be that you control her, maybe Peter gets captured or something, and there's like a small section for like 5 minutes where you control MJ, and she's got to do something to help Peter. That would be all right. But there's other characters, like I'd much rather go as Miles. If they were going to have anyone as a playable character, I'd rather they did Miles. But as we were saying, it maybe then gets a bit confusing, because if you were playing as Miles and he had powers, you'd expect him to be Spider-Man's sidekick. So it's...
In the comics, does he ever become, a sidekick, or does he always just kind of in the shadows till he becomes Spider-Man?
Well, they're from different universes.
Hmm.
So they've had crossovers before. There was one from last year, but I didn't read it. It was Spider-Man number 2, where in the first one, they sort of met each other, and then in the second one, they were thinking, well, the whole idea of the multiverse is that there's a mirror copy of everyone, so there must be a Miles Morales on Peter Parker's Earth, and I think they went off to find him. So they've never really worked together, properly, but they have done little missions together.
Well, isn't that what the cartoon film's about?
That's the one with... Jake Johnson is the voice of 45-year-old Peter Parker. That because that's got Miles Morales as Spider-Man, that will be set in his universe. But for some reasons, Peter Parker isn't dead in that one.
Right. So
I can't remember how they're explaining that. Maybe it's a different part of the multiverse again, And it's another Miles Morales who got his Spider-Man powers, but for some reason his Peter Parker didn't die. But it'll be interesting to see. It's like in The Flash, one of the things that people complain about with the TV show is everyone's got powers and there's too many heroes. And it's unrealistic that things keep happening because there's like six people with superpowers all working together. Whereas you think, like, Batman pretty much tries to work on his own most of the time, other than maybe Robin. So he's more of a target. Whereas if you had a team of two Spider-Men, that's pretty fucking hard. When you think Spider-Man's proportionately strong and he can take so much damage and he's so agile and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, like I mentioned before, I'd be really intrigued to see them do a DLC with Miles.
Yeah. Well, I just remembered what I was going to ask you before. Obviously, Peter Parker's 23 in this one, so how does he develop powers-wise from... He gets them like when he's 16, doesn't he, as a teenager? And then how does his power level develop as he gets older, or does he just get smarter as a fighter slash character?
Pretty much, Jerry. He becomes a little bit more tolerant and a bit more patient and less stupid, basically. Just, you know, he learns to take his time, but he becomes stronger. He learns different ways of using his webbing. So it's not just a case of, you know, thwip, but it's, you know, he can make nets and stuff, and then the web grenades and all different kinds of things. So by the time we see him, he's more matured. He's been Spider-Man for 8 years now. So he should be pretty in control of his powers, and he should be a lot more settled. But also in that time, he's made a lot more enemies. If you were dealing with 15 or 16 year old Spider-Man, you'd be expecting to be doing maybe more like stopping bank robbers and things like that. Whereas now he's dealing with the full rogues gallery, because he's been stopping them for 8 years now. So they're obviously plenty pissed off with him. And it's good to see, because now they don't have to do an explainer. They don't have to do an origin, because everyone knows the origin story with Uncle Ben and blah, blah, great power, blah, blah, great responsibility and all that. So it's good that they're avoiding the really cliche things about Spider-Man. And they made a point, I think it was at E3, of saying in no uncertain terms, we're not bothered about the origin story. Everyone knows it. We don't need to waste any more time doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they did took the same thought process with the films, didn't they? Obviously, got introduced later compared to everyone else. But as you said, nobody needs the Uncle Ben storyline again.
No.
And Aunt May, who's gone down about 50 years in age every film adaptation. But, I mean... As he's been in it 8 years, do you think obviously he's probably more vulnerable now? Do you think people in that time, do people know like his more about his secret identity and stuff like that, or is he just still pretty solid in terms of that in that regard?
Well, it seems as though, because there's bits where he's talking to a few people, it seems like Mary Jane knows, Miles knows, and I think what's the detective? Oh, there's a police officer that he's dealing with throughout the game. And it looks like, I can't remember what a bloody name is. And it looks like he's dealing with her. Is it Yuri?
Yuri Watanabe.
Watanabe, yeah. Watanabe. I don't know if she's the copper. Oh, I don't know. But there's somebody that he's talking to, isn't there? I think it was during the helicopter fight from that first gameplay trailer. So it looks like, yeah, maybe he's over that fear that he had in the early days of anyone that I tell is instantly going to get killed. And now he's a little bit more open to bringing people into the fold.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite interesting how a character like that develops, because I think we'll stick with the Batman one. I think we've all seen, we've seen the Batfleck interpretation, which isn't. I like Batfleck, but it's not great for multiple reasons. But we've seen all the Batmans. I mean, the DC cartoon universe does it best, doesn't he, when he comes back?
Oh, yeah, in Dark Knight Returns.
That's the one, yeah. That's
yeah, Dark Knight Returns, is the Frank Miller book is an absolute masterpiece.
Yeah. I watched that recently. I think that Sky did a DC collection. I was like, ignore all the live films, straight to the cartoon.
Yeah, did you watch both parts?
Oh, aye, yeah. I think I watched them all, like even the Justice League stuff where it might have been the Constantine one, which was quite good. But anyway.
I don't think there's ever really been any kind of, not that I've seen anyway, that if there's ever really been any depictions of old Spider-Man.
No.
So, yeah, a bit weird.
When does Peter Parker die normally in general scheme of things, or doesn't he?
I don't think he does. Other than the Miles Morales thing, like I said in that. That book, Craven's Last Hunt, which anyone's not read, it's very, very good. I don't really think he has, or not that I've seen anyway. I mean, I've not been reading Spider-Man for anywhere near as long as I have other people.
Yeah.
But it's like everything. He's been around for like 60, 70 years, but he just gets reboots all the time.
No, that's fair. I think obviously he's one of the most popular, so it's easy to just. I don't want to say milk it as a negative, but yeah, it's easy to do so, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think we covered it quite well. Unless you want to cover anything else on the game, and then we can talk about the wider spectrum of superhero gaming.
No, it looks like they've got it really, really spot on. It's had a lot of good press. There's been some weird press the last couple of days where some fucking wiener boys online have been complaining that they've dumbed down the graphics or something because there was a spot in one of the trailers where there was like this massive puddle in like you're fighting a bunch of gangsters in a high rise building and there's this huge puddle on the floor. And now in another trailer that's come out, the puddle's really small and people have accused them of downscaling the graphics. And one of the devs came out and went, well, just because a puddle's got smaller doesn't mean the graphics have changed. And then just to set the record state, he said, we haven't done anything to the graphics at all. It's exactly the same.
But, so they've spent all these years and because they didn't like the size of a puddle, they've downgraded the whole game apparently.
Yeah, exactly. It's typical internet bollocks where people just want something to whinge about. As far as I can see, there's nothing really wrong with it. Like I said before, if I wanted to be picky, I'd rather it was a little bit more classic Spider-Man. But I can see why they're not doing that because they don't want to be making a modern game that looks like the 70s. They want it to be a little bit more. It's the same way that DC or the animated films they're doing are all based on the new 52 look of the characters. Because everything's a bit brighter and a bit more edgy and things look a little bit more armoured and a little bit less lycra. And to an extent, they did that in Arkham Knight as well. You know, Batman wasn't wearing a latex suit. Everything he was wearing was full-on bulky armour, especially in... which was it Arkham Knight where you got that really awesome... The one that enhances his reflex?
Yeah, is that when he fights Superman? I think it's part two.
No, in the Arkham games.
In
the Arkham games, there's one of them where he's wearing a pretty good suit, but then he goes and gets this augmented suit, and it helps you like leap across the map for when you do your combos and stuff.
Oh, I think that is City, yeah. I think it is City.
I wasn't sure if that was City or Arkham Knight, but yeah, so they've done a similar thing. They've modernized it, and you know, out goes the camp-looking Batmobile, and it becomes the Bat-Tank. So I suppose it makes sense. It is a modern thing, so they want to make it look a little bit more modern. But the major interesting thing about this for me is just how good New York looks. The city looks huge, and they have said that there is going to be some element of like a sandbox game, and you are going to be able to web-sling around to your heart's content. You can parkour up the edge of buildings, and it looks like there's going to be loads of side missions to do as well. So you might be like swinging across and then all of a sudden you'll hear someone on a rooftop that's got a little job for you. And, you know, there's going to be collectibles and things like that, you know, like collect 100 of these or break 25 of these or whatever. And I'm sure I've been seeing figures where they reckon there's up to like 100 hours of gameplay, depending on how you play it.
I think I saw that the story is meant, rumoured to be taking 20 hours, but as just a main story in a game like that,
that's not bad.
Impressive.
20 hours for a main story isn't bad at all. You know, if you throw into the fact that a lot of people will just be playing unstructured and will just be flying around and doing their own thing, yeah, 20 seems about right. I mean, I'd like it to be sort of double the size, but you've got to be realistic. You know, how long would it take them to code a game that's 40, 50 hours of a storyline when it looks that good?
And if there's photography side missions, I'm doing the hell out of them.
See, now I sort of begrudgingly do like a couple of those. I'll do like the Empire State Building and maybe the Baxter Building if they've got it, but then I get so bored of those.
Oh, were you one of those? Were you one of the ones on the old GTAs where you could do cop missions and stuff and just didn't do them?
Yeah, I didn't like the old GTAs.
I loved being a taxi.
I did a couple of them on GTA 5, but I always tried to kill people.
Yeah, GTA like 5 broke that mold, to be fair.
or just get chased by the police as much as humanly possible and then just abandon the car and run away.
Very true.
They had some photography missions in one of the other Spider-Man games. And like you picked them up outside the Daily Bugle.
And yeah, I remember that.
Jonah Jameson always had these little things for you, and it was, and they weren't just like landmarks. Some of them were like really weird things, that might be like a deli shop or something that was really famous, and he'd send you to go and take a picture of a sandwich. And yeah, now you've said it, I'll probably be a bit pissed off if that isn't in there, because it's such a Spider-Man thing to have.
The only disappointing thing is it's not going to be the Jonah Jameson from the first three films. I can't remember his bloody name, but I know he's an excellent actor.
He's James Gordon.
That's going to piss me off. But anyway, we'll move on from that, because we'll be IMDb-ing that for ages.
Simmons.
Something Simmons.
It'll come to me. When it comes to me, I'm just going to shout his name out.
J.K.? No.
Yeah, no.
Is it?
I think, is it J.K.? You know what, fuck it. Spider-Man Simmons. J.K. Simmons, no, it is, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
I thought you were just thinking of J.K. Rowling and getting
the same, that's why I doubted myself. That's why I was doubting myself. But before we finish up on the actual game, what are your expectations from it? Are you expecting a proper serious game, or are you just expecting one where you can piss about on? Because you were talking about Horizon Zero Dawn there beforehand and getting back into it. I mean, are you expecting a bit of a, not a chore, because games are meant to be fun, but are you expecting something that you have to concentrate on?
No. I'm hoping it's going to be quite loose. Where it'll be one of those things, you'll start a mission, but then on the way you'll go, oh, that looks more interesting. And, you know, you might just like web sling over an alleyway that's got some people mugging someone, and you just decide to drop in and twat them. Because that's what I always used to do in the Arkham games. I was going anywhere, whenever I was flying anywhere or ziplining anywhere, as soon as you see more than like one person, you have to drop down and beat the shit out of them. That's the rule.
Soon you just had the radio thing on, the sound detecting, just like,
When you had that scanner on and you were always listening out for that dodgy New York accent. You hear one, you go, he's up to no good, and then you have to go and get him. That's just the way it works.
Absolutely. And we need more of that. But I think that's been a good preview. We'll obviously be back with the review for that. But we'll move on to the wider scheme of superheroes. And we've kind of touched on Daredevil and the Punisher and Batman throughout. Because, well, why wouldn't you talk about Batman? There's obviously rumours of Rocksteady making a Superman game, which doesn't sound particularly interesting to me, because I don't really like Superman. But is there any other characters or, I don't know, maybe obviously there's a Joker film coming out. Do you think they could make a villain game or an anti-hero game? Is there anything that pops into your head when you mention games that could be made?
Daredevil. I don't really think a Superman game works like as we said before, Superman being Superman takes away the vulnerability. So what's the point? I mean, you couldn't have Superman in a free roaming game flying around Metropolis going and beating up bad guys, because what are they going to do? Waste bullets, waste knives, waste punches on him. There's no real sort of impact to your health. Whereas someone like Daredevil, I mean, Daredevil would slot in perfectly with a Rocksteady game using the exact same engine as they used for Arkham.
Arkham, yeah.
I would love a Green Arrow game, because a Green Arrow game would go really well with the leveling up and the crafting side of things, because you can always craft different arrows. But it's whether they're popular enough to do. And you'd think Daredevil probably is, because the Netflix seasons have been so well received, and he's been picked up so well by so many people that probably never would have really liked him, certainly not after the god-awful Ben Affleck film. Other than that, it's hard to say, because there's no denying there's a huge element of oversaturation of superhero things at the minute. Gaming is probably one of the only areas where that hasn't happened. Where there hasn't really been too many superhero games, not that I can think of.
Anyway. Too many good ones.
Yeah, there's been the Lego games, but they only do like one. Is it one a year, or maybe one every other year, or 18 months, something like that?
And they're not always superheroes, are they? They are in modern times, but they weren't for years.
And the ones that are coming out, the next one that's coming out now is DC Supervillain, so it's looking at it more from the villain side of things, and even then, there's only been half a dozen of them, so it's not like they've completely oversaturated it or anything.
Yeah, I mean, all we've done is talk about the Arkham series and old Spider-Man games. Other than that, there's not many others, is there?
And there's a reason why, because the Arkham games are the archetype for that. They are the mold against, you know, that should be used for all these other things. Now it's,
yeah,
there's no real other reason. There's no other real game I can think of like that. I mean, for me, it's one of my favorite game series, and it holds up alongside Assassin's Creed, Mass Effect.
I think Arkham City came second in my favorite list.
City overall would be right up there. If I ever actually was able to sit down and do a games list, Arkham City would be well up there.
Yeah, I think... Well, I did Arkham City in one sitting. That's how much I love that game.
Yeah.
That was a good night. But
I'd call that.
That was back in the prime. Couldn't do that now. But I mean, I kind of want to see a Punisher game, but I'm not sure how that'd work. It'd probably just turn into a Call of Duty game.
Pretty much. It'd probably, if it came out like anything, it'd be like Army of Two.
Oh, God, I want it now.
Yeah, I must admit, I've talked myself into it, because I loved Army of Two.
Especially
the bits where you went back to back.
Yeah.
And you just absolutely destroyed people with like fucking fire bullets. That they were seriously good fun, those games. Especially if you actually had someone to play with.
Oh God, yeah.
Just the computer AI on those was an absolute moron. Last game I had to stop playing, and I never got to finish it, because my mate that I used to play with, he got rid of the game. And there was this one bit where the computer just kept running up these stairs and getting shot, and it couldn't work out. Well, if I hang back, we can like take people out slowly. Nope, just going to run up and get shot. And it happened like 10, 15 times, and I just got bored and just gave up.
Well, in terms of the grander scheme of things, there's that obviously the Avengers game, which is coming out, which has literally got less details than stuff in Area 51, by the looks of it.
Yeah, I'm even wondering if that's ever going to get made. That seems like a nice trailer.
They can't stop that now.
It seems just like one of those things where surely by now you'd have put out some details to just whet people's appetite a little bit and get people talking. Because I keep forgetting that they're even making a game of it, because there's so little information out there. It's almost like they don't want people to bloody know about it.
Unless, the only thing I can think of is if it's going to be Square Enix's big thing for the launch of the next console, but why would you release a trailer this early on?
And that's risky.
Yeah. So
think what happened with The Division. You know, The Division was meant to be a launch title for the PS4, wasn't it?
Mm.
And they pulled it back, and when people asked them about it, they said, well, because we don't really know the limitations of the console for like the first 18 months. So we don't want our game to be the one that people are always reporting the bugs on, saying, oh, the console's laggy and there's memory problems and all the rest of it. Because then our game's always tainted. Then no matter what we do, the game will always be bad. So I don't think anyone logical, none of the good studios should be releasing big games. It's like Uncharted as well. People wanted the new Uncharted game to launch with the PS4. And he came back and said, absolutely no chance.
To be fair, it looks like Halo's going to launch with the new Xbox.
that doesn't surprise me, but Halo games are so boring. I don't know what the difference between the first one and the last one is.
That's because you're just disgusting.
And they just play the exact same, and I don't like the way the games look, and I don't like the way they play.
We're going to move on from this, because I'll get upset. now I want a Punisher Army of Two game. Now I'm distracted. But obviously there's the Venom film and stuff like that, and probably one we haven't mentioned who started off the MCU was Iron Man. Do you think an Iron Man game could work, or do you think it would just tie in too much with the film?
No, I think time's passed for that. There was an Iron Man game a few years.
I mean good games here.
Game. No. It would be too easy and too obvious to make it a tie-in for the movies, and especially when realistically they're probably trying to get rid of Iron Man. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Avengers 4, but it's well thought that either Captain America or Iron Man or both of them are going to die or retire or something in Iron Man 4. So in Avengers 4, it wouldn't really make sense for them to be doing that. I mean, there's other characters they could do. A Black Panther game could be interesting.
Oh, that's a good show.
Because Black Panther's a character, I think, for...
Especially with the success of the film.
I think the best games for me are the ones that have got the more human characters. The ones who haven't got, you know, amazing superpowers like laser vision and super strength and all the rest of it, or a magic hammer. I mean, Black Panther is just a guy. Yes, he's got, you know, slightly better reflexes and things like that, and he's stronger and he's quicker and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, he is still a guy. You know, he's not an alien. He's not a god. He's not got a magic formula in his blood or anything like that. So it's...
Well, we even saw in the film, he gets his ass kicked by what is just a bloke. Well, it's not just a bloke, it's a super soldier, but the films paint a picture, don't they, for the wider audience. And
yeah,
to show such vulnerability in a character's early development is quite interesting. But do you think Black Panther has the universe we talked about with Batman and Spider-Man? Or do you think it's still a young character in that regard?
I mean, he's a long-standing character, but I don't think he's got the rogues gallery. I may well be wrong, and if there's anyone who's a massive Black Panther fan who can set me straight on that, then please do. But I can't really think of any other major villains that he's got. Mm. But I suppose you could always do a crossover villain. I mean, Black Panther is somebody who could, in theory, cross over into a Spider-Man game. Because he does still have involvements with the wider world and with New York, and he is an Avenger, so there's no reason why he couldn't be in New York for something. So I suppose they do want to capitalize in the future on the MCU, but you don't just want to take the characters directly from it, do you?
Oh, I just thought of someone.
Go on.
Blade.
I'm sure there was a Blade game.
There was a game. I played it, and it was hard. But I was a kid.
I think I remember it. I mean, Blade's good for the one major thing. It's a hack and slash game, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, it just a total mindless. You walk into a room, there's a shitload of zombies, and you just get your sword out and just waste all of them.
I mean, and that, you could probably get Wesley Snipes to do the voice and shit.
Well, yeah, he's been talking about it recently, about doing another Blade film.
He needs to be in the MCU.
It's been talked about. I don't know whether it would be him as Blade, or maybe they'd do like a cheesy passing the torch thing and there's somebody else. Because, I mean, Wesley Snipes is like mid-50s, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's still a machine.
Yeah, he is. It's different with him because Blade is such a hands-on character compared to someone like Iron Man. It's, you know, all of his stuff is CG, whereas all the stuff that Blade does is, you know, hands-on.
Yeah.
Full effects. But I would love Blade in the MCU, man. I would absolutely love it.
I would be. It kind of links back in with Spider-Man. What's the vampire character called? Maybe?
Morbius.
No. Morbius, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a film of him as well, which is...
What, Sony film?
Yes.
That's going to be shit. That's Jared Leto, isn't it? Oh, fucking hell.
It's a bit weird, because, I mean, he's an alright villain, but...
He's more of an anti-villain, isn't he?
It depends how they want to paint him. He's been both. He's been a villain. He's been an anti-hero. But I just don't think he's an especially interesting character. It seems like that's one of the ones where they've got like 15 different Spider-Man related things on the slate. And I'm really hoping that the Morbius one doesn't get made. I hope that Black Cat does. Black Cat's a pretty interesting character.
Mm. Well, when Sinister Six, Venom and Carnage were announced, I was quite interested in that. But some of these extra ones sound a bit shit.
Yeah, I think the Sinister Six one is still...
It got shelved, didn't it, for a bit?
Yeah, it got shelved, but they've said that it's still on the slate at some point. They do still want to do it. It's just a case of when.
So and when is Sony's... what we're going to call it? A loan to Marvel up? It must end at some point.
After Far From Home, that's the last Spider-Man film.
And that's coming next year, isn't it?
That's next year, but it's pretty much expected that they're just going to renegotiate it. Because, I mean, there's no reason for them not to, because then Sony makes a shitload of money from the MCU, one of the biggest film franchises of all time.
And they can make an actual good Spider-Man film.
And they don't really have to do anything, because I'm sure they consult on the films, but it's all Marvel's creativity. It's all led by Kevin Feige. It's all their direction. It's literally just, we want to use this character that you own. Here's a shitload of money. You know, I'm sure they pay them money and then they get a chunk of the receipts as well. So they'd be stupid to not renew it because they aren't going to do any better. They've only got to look at the response to Tom Holland's casting and Homecoming and his appearance in Infinity War and even just the little cameo in Civil War. You know, everything that they've done so far, Spider-Man related in the MCU, we've been brilliant. So just let them do it.
But it'd be quite interesting to see how, see if Sony could negotiate Tom Holland appearing in their films and stuff like that. But I'm sure Tom Holland doesn't want to be in about 800 Spider-Man films every year. But
because of the Venom stuff, it's been talked about. They've asked Tom Holland if he wants to be in a Venom in a film with Venom, and he said yeah. Then they've asked Tom Hardy if he wants to be in a film with Spider-Man, and he said yeah, absolutely. It's just it's so difficult, especially, you know, Tom Hardy, the more films he does, the more in demand he is. So
he signed a 3-film contract, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's done 3, and this is why there's been so many rumours going around that despite them saying for ages that Venom was going to be R-rated, that they might go for like a PG-13 or maybe a 15.
15 over here,
because
yeah.
If they do a hard R, there's no way in hell you can then do a Spider-Man crossover without completely rewriting Venom and making him really, really different. You know, if they do 3 Venom films and then do a crossover, you've then got to undo 3 films worth of character development. And that's kind of stupid. And similarly, you can't have Spider-Man in the MCU, you know, as a 15, what is he, I think maybe 16 or 17 in the MCU.
High school, isn't he? So that
and then all of a sudden, you know, he's bloodthirsty and like he's kicking people off buildings and stabbing people. It wouldn't work. So I would rather Venom was R-rated and they kept them separate, but I can see why they're thinking long-term and going, well, yeah, Spider-Man is like the name on everyone's lips at the minute. they've reinvigorated the character who'd gone a little bit stale after the Garfield films, which obviously weren't very well received.
Mm.
So I can see why they're thinking, yeah, you know, we want to get him back in. We want to get him back on a Sony film, you know, actually get a Sony film out of this.
Yeah, and maybe they could set it in the future so you don't have to do the crossover with the MCU or something like that, but that's just spitballing. But I've just realised we've gone over an hour now.
What happens when I talk about comics?
Yeah, there's not been one. I don't think there's been one up. That's been under an hour, but anyway. I'm editing it, so it doesn't matter. So, we'll just do a bit of news. Battlefield's been put back a month. I think it's November 20th now. I mean, does that affect you in any way? Were you asked about Battlefield?
No. I gave up on first-person shooters years ago because the only way I can ever be good at them is to play them for like 5 or 6 hours a day, every day, and I don't have the time anymore. But if I was ever to get one, it would always be Battlefield over COD. Mm. I hate COD games, and I've always preferred the realism of Battlefield. Like, I love the way they always had the destroyable buildings and things like that. So if someone was hiding in a building and you had a tank, you could just blow out the four walls and the roof would collapse on them and kill them.
Yeah. And I think there is a beta. I think it's the 6th, so it'll be the day before Spider-Man. So might get a day of the Battlefield beta before Spider-Man. If that tickles anyone's fancy. But the other bit of news that came from this week was gameplay footage of Cyberpunk 2077. I know you haven't watched it, Stu, but
I am going to.
Yeah,
make sure you do.
Because it does look phenomenal. It looks like Deus Ex mixed with fucking John Wick somehow. Which, you know, if that description doesn't get you going for it, I don't know what will.
Oh, it does, believe me.
Yeah. But do check that out if you haven't watched it, people, because it looks like a generational good game. So do check that out. And just to finish up, I'm going to go through some of the releases that is coming out in the next couple of weeks. PUBG's getting its official release on Xbox on the 4th. NBA 2K19 is on the 7th. So is NBA Live, so there's them two. Spider-Man's out on the 7th.
Yes,
it is. And then Tomb Raider is out on the 14th. And then there's some other more niche games in between that. But hopefully we'll have another pod before that, and then we'll go through some more. And we try to finish up every pod like this, but Stu, what are you playing before Spider-Man comes out?
Horizon Zero Dawn. I've gone back on it with the Frozen Wilds DLC.
Good stuff. And I am playing Modern Warfare 2 because it just got put back in Xbox compatibility. And I love that game. And that's what I'm playing at the minute. But I think this has been a good pod, Stu, so I'm going to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Thanks for joining us, people listening, and goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.